Welcome back to our Ask the Expert podcast. I'm Yulia, your host for today's episode and marketing manager at Yautonomous, the global community shaping the future of safe autonomous mobility. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Indu Vijayan, Director of Product Management at AI, a provider of intelligent next-generation adaptive LiDAR for vehicle autonomy, advanced driver assistance systems, and robotic vision applications. As you know, along with cameras and radars, LiDAR sensors count among the key technologies for automated driving. So I'm really looking forward to finding out more about the company's latest innovations and plans for the future. Furthermore, Indu is also the founder of Women in Autonomy. And this community has expanded a lot during the last years to include exceptional women at the forefront of autonomous technology development. But I will let Indu tell us more about the mission of this wonderful community. So let us dive right in. Hi, Indu, and welcome to the Autonomous Ask the Expert podcast. It's really great to have you with us here today. We also can't wait to meet you in person in just a few weeks at the Autonomous main event. Before we jump into today's topics, I would like to kindly ask you to briefly introduce yourself to our listeners and share with us a little bit of your journey in the automotive space and what makes you so passionate about autonomous driving and your work at AI.
Thank you, Leah. It's great being with the Autonomous and it's my pleasure. I'm Indu Vijayan and Director of Product Management for Automotive at AI. And I work very closely with our tier one partner, Continental, to bring a long range intelligent LiDAR to the automotive market. And just to give an idea of the background I have, as soon as I graduated, I joined at that time Delphi in the autonomous driving space. And it was very remarkable to see the level of effort to see how you can have the cars drive like a human. It enamored me from the start on the amount of intelligence built into the car, the software, the hardware, and coming off all of it together, the amount of collaboration that's happening to make the car to drive simple tasks like how a human would drive. So this really piqued my interest a lot. And as I started working on it, I came to a point where, you know, I felt like, oh, if there was some sensor which could look at that particular sign there and zoom in and get more information, it would make my drive so much better. And that's when I found AI, and I was excited about the fact that there's an intelligent sensor company, and I joined AI because of that particular reason, seeing the lack of it at that point. So that's kind of giving you an idea of how my career happened, and I'm right now at AI working on a long-range LiDAR. At the same time, I also founded Women in Autonomy just because of the fact that I found myself the lone female in most of the technical meetings. And I found this very not normal and wanted to change it and wanted to bring more women together. There are women teams in the automotive industry. I'm not saying that, but we want more of them, and we want to educate, empower a future generation of women leaders in the automotive industry. That was the reason to have Women in Autonomy, and hope to do more and bring more people in here.
That sounds very inspirational. And we all know that we work in an industry with very little gender diversity. And yeah, you also hold a technical role. So because now you've founded also Women in Autonomy and you've interacted with so many different people, how do you think that we can change the current situation and allow for more women, I would say alongside men, so not women alone, to be heard and represented?
Yes, Julia, while there's women in some leading roles, today's number point to only 8% of top execs as women in top 20 motor vehicles and part companies, and 16% to be the workforce in the global automotive industry. The way we can change is by making the automotive industry more attractive to women, and hence grow diverse team to join this industry. And autonomous driving platform is one such place. It's very interesting right now, and people are joining. And once we have the women workforce and the diverse team, not only limited to women, but more diverse team join the industry. It's about educating the team to reduce the inbuilt biases that goes into the decision making, and to also have mentorship for these young individuals to reduce any attritions in mid of their career.
But how do you think exactly that the automotive industry can benefit from greater diversity? Because I think this is an important point, especially if we consider the challenges that we face in the AV sector, in the development of autonomous technology.
Greater diversity will largely benefit automotive industry, especially with more and more software and AI-based solutions coming in. We need a diverse set of team members working on it, from the startup definition of what the ADS systems or the AV systems can do till the end, to the end when you deploy it. And the reason why this is important is that with each and every software and algorithm that's built, there's inbuilt biases that goes into it. So, and you also need to make sure the product you make is finally robust and can meet to each different geographical locations, different patterns of driving, different ways of interacting with vehicles in the road, etc. So you need people who knows it from different areas of the world, of what happens in their own cultures, their own cities, villages, etc. And you also need people at the development of algos to be able to understand how the AI system needs to be defined and remove any biases. And these coming from diverse team will largely help reduce that. And of course, in the validation piece of it, you would test for different conditions, whether be it night, day, different kinds of races, different kinds of locations, different spaces, rain, wind, all of this. So, you know, we have to include all of that proportions, and having a diverse team will make sure you're including these in your test plans, in your definitions, all of that portion of it.
What do you think has been so far the greatest achievement of women in autonomy, of the community that you founded, or what inspired you the most while interacting with different women in this space?
So I've come across various mentors throughout my career who understands the industry, and it has had a big impact on how I've handled situations and certain type of work, especially that causes the uneasy feeling in your stomach when you want to push yourself more. And it has impacted me a lot in my career choices. So I wanted the similar thing to happen with women in autonomy, and to enable more women to just do that, to just go out and do things which is not easy, or like, you know, they outside their comfort zone. So in the women in autonomy, we have a couple of things that we do. There's panels where we bring in industry experts, women experts, into the panels for discussing about technical regulations, any other aspects of transportation industry, so that we can educate a wider network or wider set of team members, and also provide a forum for networking and discussing any of the aspects related to it. Secondly, mm-hmm. we also have a mentoring program where various members, both mentors and mentees, can join from across the world for enabling each other and learning from each other. And we also have a speakers bureau wherein it's, and the reason behind this having the speakers bureau is that we found that there's very little women in most of the events that's happening in the world, like specifically conferences, and to have more women presence in these industry events. The speakers bureau enable or is a forum for all people to give in their reports in, and also the industry event people to come back and get like a resource of women leaders who can come and join the events.
Yeah, and that's definitely true. This is also how we got to know each other. So thanks a lot for enabling this kind of collaboration and community for the industry. You mentioned mentors and mentees. So do I understand correctly? Have you had any mentors to help you throughout your career? And are you at the moment mentoring other young female professionals that are working in the automotive industry?
I have had various mentors throughout my life, and both men and women who have given me support, especially across different areas. So yes, so multiple of them, and I'm like, you know, there's my managers who have been in the initial phases of my career who have really helped me shape my career, as well as there are people external who have given guidance on certain situations. And from a point perspective of whether I am mentoring anybody, I don't like specifically have one or two or mentoring. So it's mainly like if somebody comes and asks me for a question, I don't stop to, I reach out and help in that particular way. Yes, but not exactly mentoring someone today.
Is this something that you're considering in the future? Would you like to do that?
Yes, I think I have a lot more to go to be a really good mentor, but happy to like help anybody out.
That sounds great. I think you would be able to inspire a lot of young women, a lot of students who are now just at the very beginning of their careers. So there's always the possibility, I think, of mentoring, even if we think that we are still young. Going back to the automotive industry, the way we know it nowadays, we are all aware that it's going through a massive transformation, and with a wave of connected, autonomous, shared and electric mobility trends. And it seems that this transformation is very challenging and cannot be handled successfully by just one company alone, but rather through tighter collaboration among a very diverse group of companies. At least this is why what we think at the Autonomous and why we exist. So we envision solving the industry's biggest challenges by enabling collaboration. And I'm curious to know, what is your take on this topic, and which particular areas in the AV sector do you think require collaboration, require an open platform approach, and maybe also a standardized approach?
So the global automotive industry, as it's moving towards being more and more software and more complex, there's absolute need for tighter collaboration with various companies, with diverse team members across different geographies to come together. Absolutely must have. Where we are going to, because we are now connecting not only the roads, but also to the human lives that, you know, their homes and every offices and every aspect of it. We're changing the entire thought process of how we, today do driving versus what it will be in the future. So this requires a huge lot of collaboration. And specifically because of two reasons. First, we want to have a robust solution, and that needs extensive understanding of how your solution is going to be used across different parts of the spaces where people use it, and also to validate across different scenarios and different use cases that it will be used against. And secondly, as a few things was mentioned before, was to remove any inbuilt biases. And as all of you know, human beings have inbuilt biases. And if you're trying to develop something better than a human, you need to have to develop these complex systems that reduces these biases or decision making, which is biased towards a certain aspect of it. And having a diverse team reduces this bias in these AI-based solutions. So from the definition to the end of deploying it, you need diverse team members working constantly to improve from requirements to the development phase through the validation and deployment phase to have a diverse team working together.
And when you mentioned diverse team working together, do you refer to diverse teams in particular companies? Or because what we envision at the Autonomous is really to help companies open up to other approaches by other different companies. Yeah. So to really bring together experts from different organizations. Is this something that resonates with you, or you wouldn't find this feasible, let's say?
I think that's absolutely must have. Each companies have their own strengths, and just like individuals who has their strengths and coming together, each company have their strengths of putting the best forward. So you need to have the collaborations. For example, let me take the example of the autonomous driving industry. It's a coming together of OEs who wants to sell the final car or the fleet services to the end customer, the end user. And then there is the tier ones who put together the solutions. And then there is the tier twos or the sensor companies, for example, sensor companies, AI solutions companies, all of them coming together, and each one of them have their own thought process. And also in the mix of it are people who work on the ethical portion of it. And then you have team members working on the regulatory aspects of it, government policies. It's a coming together of all of these diverse group of companies that make sure that you're building a holistic and a robust solution at the end of the day. So I completely am for that. And that enables faster development, covering most of the scenarios, and also faster trust and adoption in general.
Exactly. The word trust is key here. I think this is the way forward to make sure that in the end, we as the consumers, we trust this technology. And I think personally, I would be much more in favor of taking a robot taxi if I knew, okay, this has been developed by 3 to 10 companies, not just by one, and it's following a standardized approach in terms of technology. So I would feel much more at ease than
I have to mention one more thing, and it's also important that when we develop something and when you have more companies come together, you pointed a very important word, standardization. Standardization of metrics. What are we measuring the success of this solution to be? And if that is with more people coming together, there's a higher safety standard, higher standard of metrics that these AV systems have to follow in general. So that I think that is more important to make sure, like, you know, when you have safety as your most critical item in specifically for autonomous driving systems.
Indeed. And do you think that nowadays we have the right safety standards in place for autonomous vehicle development?
I think there are work in place to make standards. There's a lot of work on the sort of UL ongoing, but it's not there in place yet. It's a work in progress in my understanding. And a lot more to do in that space.
Yeah, that's also why we started the autonomous. So our initiative strongly believes that there is still a lot to do in that space of standardization and of coming together to develop the technology through cooperation and strong collaboration. Going back to the partnership topic, I know that AI is working very closely with Continental. And our listeners, I'm sure they would be interested in knowing more about this partnership. Could you tell us a few words about what you're developing together with Continental?
AI is working with a tier one automotive partner, Continental, to bring forward an edge intelligent LiDAR, long-range LiDAR systems to the automotive market. We do this by having a licensing model where we leverage the expertise of both the teams. So AI brings in the technology piece and licenses it to Continental, who then uses this knowledge with the 150 years of experience in the automotive industry to industrialize it at large scale with high levels of robustness for the autonomous driving space.
So which level of autonomy are you developing together with Continental?
Yeah, we're catering towards L2++ as well as looking at L4 systems at this point. So commercial vehicle L4 autonomy, and in some passenger vehicles are more closer to L2++ range. So that's where we are concentrated on.
And this actually leads me to the next question. I'm pretty sure that you're discussing this a lot at AI. What will take to go from autonomous, from sorry, from automated driving, so level 2+ to level 4 autonomy?
It takes a lot more from going from ADAS, which is basically having a human in loop, when you're having the sensor systems giving clues to the human driver on how better to drive. We have been successful in taking hand legs off from a human driver while driving, and also maybe some portions of hand away from the driver. But cognitively, the human driver is on and looking at what's going on for ADAS systems. That is up to level 2, the human driver is in loop. Beyond this, there is a requirement that the human driver is not loop, and the level of engagement in, for example, I'm going to talk a little bit about L3 and the constraints around L3. The L3 is one place where they expect the human to be back maybe in 10 seconds, but across validations and across different data points, it has been found that if a human has taken off their cognitive looking at the driving capabilities and is off trying to maybe take a call or trying to do something with the baby at the back, example, it takes minimum 28 seconds or so to come back to understand the scene and take control. So it is difficult to deploy something like that when you expect a human to take control back, and that doesn't happen so quickly. So it's essentially you're trying to do L4 to build it for levels of safety. And as we move from L2 to L4, since your human driver is not in loop, the amount of safety critical activities a human the vehicle has to do, the ADS system has to do, it's much higher. And the needs, the braking, in order for the car to have a smooth braking system, in order to make sure it is having high information, situational awareness across different scenes, it needs to have sensing capabilities, which is much intelligent and can gather the right information, compute this quickly to make decisions for the best of to the safety of the people inside as well as outside. So that's where it changes from L2 to L4, and this is done by having edge intelligence sensors. Higher, more. Some people do it with lot. I mean, like initial phases of development has used multiple sensors, maybe like 30 to 40 sensors sometimes, and heavy compute systems to solve this in general and at lower speeds today. And moving this to higher speeds and higher levels of information is work in progress. And you see this coming into commercial vehicles today. There are spaces of highways, hub-to-hub transportations that's slowly getting automated, and regulations are enabling it to happen because of a huge reduction in the workforce in the commercial vehicle space. We are going to take small steps towards getting full autonomy, but that should give us but that ge that leverages the today's sensors and improve upon as we go move forward.
Do you think, in your opinion, that today's technology is truly safer than a human driver, or we're not there yet?
So today's technology is not yet safer than a human driver. It depends on which level of level the human driver is. For example, if you're comparing to a well, fully awake, fully charged human being versus autonomous driving system, we are not equal yet. But then there are cases when it's drunk or your sleepy driver, specifically in the autonomous driving places, when they have long haul driving and they're sleepy and probably like they would doze off in between driving. Those are scenarios which we're trying to reduce, and that's where an ADAS system can definitely help. So there are specific use cases where this would help at this point of time, and we are driving towards places slowly to make the ADAS system more and more intelligent to compare to human driver.
You already mentioned Indoor some of the technologies that are absolutely crucial to enable level 4 autonomy. So it would be great for us, for our listeners, to hear your opinion. So of course, you talked about sensors. How can we safely develop and deploy autonomous systems?
So as we have more and more software-defined vehicles and higher levels of autonomy, we can start developing and safely deploy these systems on the road. The more connected we are in these cars, in the vehicles, etc., we can drop well-tested with real data solutions into these vehicles and have higher levels of confidence in repeatedly performing as designed. And we can start seeing some of it already. We have already the autonomous vehicles, autonomous fleets, and trucking already on roads with safely driving, etc. And there are also small fleets which is providing ride capabilities in small cities, etc., and providing this capability with safety drivers in place. So we can start seeing that already happening. And this can be more and more improved as we have more connected vehicles, and also having these software packages. When it's dropped to the vehicles, you're basically making sure that this has been well tested across different data points, across regions, across different use cases, across different environmental conditions. And once it's tested, and again, having collaborative model will hugely help in that factor here. And also, once you've downloaded this into your cars, I'm just taking an example here for this software-defined vehicles, you can also make sure that you're running through the real data before you're enabling that feature. So you're running on each vehicle with the real data, and you have built in high levels of confidence before you enable it. So there are ways to safely develop and deploy these with the connected and more collaborative models, and we can slowly start seeing that coming into the market at this point.
We also often receive this question from some of our community members. Do you think that autonomous vehicles will coexist with human drivers? I mean, this is probably the future, because we won't be able to transition directly from non-autonomous cars to fully autonomous on all roads and in all use cases.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we are already having human drivers coexisting with partially automated vehicles on the roads. For example, there are already like so many companies having automated vehicles on the streets of San Francisco today, and human drivers are also driving along with it, and also parts of the highways with commercial vehicles. So it's just a matter of time that they will coexist. Today, mostly the human drivers adapt to the autonomous driving system. I'm just going to take an example. There was a swarm of automated fleets just stuck at a traffic jam, and the human drivers quickly adapted. They understood there's something wrong with the ADS systems. They swerved away from these swarm of ADSs and found their way out of the traffic jam, and then it was recovered in a matter of a few hours. So similarly, as we get higher levels of confidence from these test vehicles, we can improve upon all of these, and the adaptability will only increase, and with increased trust and increased collaboration between different companies, this is only going to improve.
Just out of curiosity, because you mentioned San Francisco, have you taken any robotaxi in San Francisco? Have you tried?
Not in San Francisco. So in my previous company, I was working on autonomous driving. So I've taken a lot of rides in Aptiv's autonomous driving system as part of the team, going out for testing and going out for looking at the data from the sensors, etc., and the car driving on its own. Yeah.
And what was your experience? Like, were you trusting fully the technology, or were you still doubting it? How was your experience?
For me, as a part of the development team, I was always validating with my own eyes what the system was receiving from all the system, the ADS system in general. So I was cross-validating and a little bit nervous all the time. I mean, this was early, like 2015, and I was quite impressed when we had the drive in. So we tested in San Francisco and then had these rides in Las Vegas, and just very crowded. And I was really surprised at how it handled different scenarios and traffic systems at that point.
Wow, that still sounds for me a little bit like sci-fi, but I would be very interested in trying at least for 5 to 10 minutes a robotaxi, so an autonomous car.
Right.
That would be really interesting for me. Yeah, actually having worked in this space, in this field for 2.5 years and talking to all these companies trying out an autonomous car, even though probably I'd be nervous, I have to admit, I would like to try it out.
Yeah, I would say my ride was quite uneventful, which gives me a higher level of confidence. But yes, you should definitely give it a try, Yulia. It's a good experience.
Another question that comes to my mind, which is, again, something that we are all aware of, and we have to think about this and we have to talk about this. This is also at the Autonomous why we organize events and why we also have working groups to try to solve these challenges together. I wanted to ask you, what are, in your opinion, the AV industry's biggest pain points at the moment?
The biggest pain points which I see is many of the technologies in the early phase of adoption. So having standardized safety features or compliances for many of the technologies is still work in process. Having standardized KPI metrics that really guarantee safety at all times is still missing. And that's one of the pain points. And that requires a lot more work from all of the participants of this industry. Second thing I would see is regulatory and liability related aspects, which is still unclear. And with that being, I think the first point will definitely help in getting more clarity in the liability and regulations portions, but more and more collaboration is required there. Then the third I see is cost, and cost is tied to economies of scale. Since it's very early adoption, the costs are much high at this point, which of course you've seen in the camera and the radar industry, how expensive it was in the early 90s, and then how the cost just reduced down as the years pass by. So it's just part of that. And then the fourth I would see is the current needs for compute, the high needs of compute, and to think more about how we can have more edge intelligence sensors and, like, you know, have more work done in that space as well.
Going back to the cost of autonomous technology, to develop autonomous technology, I would like to speak with you a little bit more about LiDAR technology. Obviously, it's something that you strongly recommend for self-driving cars. And I would like to ask you why do you think, you mentioned earlier, but maybe to develop a bit this topic of why self-driving cars need LiDAR technology, and how can we ensure, in your opinion, in the future, an affordable cost?
So LiDAR provides a very crucial information that is accurate 3D data, and that's precise range information of where an object is for the ADS system to really understand where this object is with respect to itself. So that is very key information, and then providing this information across day and night and different weather conditions, that is sunny, when there's rain and fog, and having that reliable data all the time at longer ranges. I'm talking about beyond up to 300 meters or beyond, and seeing small objects, very small objects, like you have the Amazon packages or something on the road or tires, and detecting those with accurate range and precise object size is the important factor that LiDAR provides to the autonomous driving. And why? Because I'm not saying this is the only thing required by the autonomous driving system. It is an important additional data point that gets into the system to get higher levels of confidence of what's going on. Today's ADAS systems typically have radars and camera, and radar systems gives you to some certain level of confidence on metals and of course, the 4D imaging ones just give you a little bit more information from the radar, but typically the accuracy of it is much lower. And also in cases where there is a lot of guardrails or in terms of having metal bridges, because of multipath issues, radar systems just can give false positives and lead to wrong, say, functionalities from, say, A, Bs, etc. And similarly, in the camera doesn't give you good depth information. And also at nighttime, your range of the camera systems is much lower. So you need something, third set of data point, which is complementary to other sensors and give you higher confidence of information. And now think about the fact that if you have an edge intelligent LiDAR system, it provides you more information which is situationally aware. Let me clarify that a little bit more. When you have an edge intelligent LiDAR system, you can utilize that capability. So for example, you're on the highway and you're really focusing in the center area of the roads and trying to get that small objects again at 150, 160 meters, and you want to know whether you can drive over it or not. That precise information the LiDAR can do. And also when you're moving the same LiDAR system, if you want to deploy it into like an urban scenes with much lower speed, but there's more objects moving around, you need to concentrate across the full wider field of view. This is exactly what an edge intelligent and an agile system can do while driving on these different use cases and ODDs of an autonomous driving system.
So in the end, it's all about precision and a higher accuracy, right?
Yes.
And, you know, this is a very controversial topic, and still I would like to ask you once again, how, in your opinion, do you think we can ensure an affordable cost? Because it's still very expensive at the moment, LiDAR technology.
Yes, as any technology in the initial phases of adoption, it will be expensive. And LiDAR has specifically seen a massive price drop in the past 3 years. And as we see more automotive market adopting it, there will be a ramp up in the volume, which leads to cost downs due to economies of scale. And then it's also about finding a solution in general, right? How the more complex solutions you want, and it's about the system level cost at the end of the day. So that also will impact how you look at it, whether you look at it as a LiDAR or a radar or a camera, instead you would look at it from a system level cost perspective, and thereby it'll also help us to reduce the cost of at a ADS system level when they're working together, etc.
Yeah, I think that's very important to make sure that this technology will be affordable for the masses and that will not become simply a luxury aspect for just a few. I think this is why we're here, and this is why we're all working together to make sure that safety will be for the masses.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As we're slowly coming to the end of our episode, I have a question that is, this is something I ask all our guests. I think in the end, it's very important to think about the benefits of autonomy for our society. And, you know, we invited different people from different companies, and everyone has different views on this. I'm talking about the specific AV use cases. What use cases do you think will be first on the market? Will we see first commercialized autonomous trucks, autonomous last mile delivery services, robotaxis, or rather passenger cars, for instance, the highway pilot?
So to answer your first question, the fully autonomous vehicles have a huge potential and benefit for the society in general. It is going to impact the way we think about how we live and how cities and architecture designs will be transformed. How I see it is it will enable it to be more green and more spacious, because now you can think of having you know, your residential area is much further away because you're having autonomous driving fleet, and you would be basically can do any activities on these autonomous driving vehicles and reduce the can use the commute time for better productivity. So that's one thing I definitely see. And I think most importantly, how it's going to enable is for people with any kind of mobility, sensory or cognitive disabilities, it's going to have a huge impact. So I do see like senior citizen living or people with, you know, autistic or any other kind of, I don't want to specifically say any kind of disabilities, these autonomous driving systems will hugely make their quality of life improved because the dependency on somebody else is removed and you have a ADAS system transporting them to places they need to go. So I see that as a huge benefit. And then in terms of AV use cases that would be first in the market, I do see that the autonomous trucking space hub-to-hub has potential for first to be in the market. And I see that already happening in the near future. Then also the last mile deliveries at smaller in specific zones and specific areas also coming in space. Then would be the robo taxis deployed in certain cities, certain areas, providing fleets. And again, that would at this phase it's still with the safety drivers, but the rules and regulations are already in place to not have the safety drivers anymore. So we will start seeing that, but that's more about building trust with the community, with the team and the cities, etc. And then also, and in a matter of 2024, 2025 and beyond, we'll see highway pilots being on the cars that you and I drive going forward.
That's always interesting to hear different perspectives on these use cases. So that is the reason why I always ask this question. Indu, to end, I would also ask you for your final remarks or maybe for one thing that our listeners should remember from today's episode with you. So even if they forgot anything else we have talked about, everything else we talked about so far, one thing or a list of top three things that they should remember.
So I think the first thing I would like to point out is autonomous driving systems are here to come and here to change the way we live. And it requires tighter collaboration across different companies on how we work together, how we define the system and how we test this and finally make it trusting for the people who use it at the end of the day. So that's my first point. Second point is to reach out to all women and diverse teams to say, to go out, be part of this huge movement. If you're feeling uneasy about or feeling something in your stomach that it's maybe not your cup of tea, but you have to give it a try and go out there, be participating in the automotive industry. And this is the space to be. I think that's one thing I would call out for to the women folks. A third would be to increase awareness about autonomous driving systems in general. Don't go, you know, there are a lot of information out there, but not all information is true. So we need to be careful about level two systems being tagged as automated driving when it is not, and be aware of that. And then not to lose trust in it yet, because there's a lot of work in place to make sure this is safe for who is receiving it at the end of the day. So I think that would be the another point.
Yeah, that's very interesting. In the end, it's all about educating also the general public, because we develop this technology in vain if it will not be adopted and trusted by the end consumer. So thank you so much, Indu, for being here, for sharing your insights. I absolutely love this episode. And of course, the work that you are doing at AI and Women in Autonomy is inspiring. I really look forward to meeting you in September in person here in Vienna at our The Autonomous main event, which is our flagship event. We are bringing together leading executives and experts of the autonomous mobility industry. So we will be gathering CEOs, board members, thought leaders from OEMs, technology companies, regulatory authorities, academia, and government institutions to share ideas, to foster connections, and work towards a common understanding of safety for autonomous mobility. Thank you so much, Indu, for joining us also as a speaker on the main stage on 27th of September. Today, it was a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. And until next time.
Thank you, Ulia. It was my pleasure. I enjoyed being on the Autonomous podcast and love to be part of the panel and for a very engaging discussion and thought process in that whole event. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.